control of it! No!
They don't want you to fall!
Project. I don't know what you're doing here, but I'll help you any way I can.
Oh, I'll take a friendly face.
And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
Welcome to TrekCast, the Klingon podcast. This is where we discuss everything Klingon, from Batliss to Kalis to Stovalkor, right here on TrekCast, the Klingon podcast.
Are we starting?
Hey, welcome to TrekCast.
Oh, we're starting now. Okay.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and get started. Let's just do it. So, no, welcome to TrekCast, the galaxy's most unpredictable Star Trek podcast. I'm Chad Waldo. With me, as always, is Daniel Reyes. I was going to say Dan Reyes. Daniel Reyes. See? Dan Lombardo. Here we are again, back at it. We're obviously going to be talking about Picard today because, hey, episode 6 just dropped the other day, The Impossible Box, not to be confused with The Dick in the Box. But anyway. You never know what the hell is going to come out of my mouth.
One,
the way it goes.
Go get a box. Two, oh, put man. Your junk in that box. Three, open the box. Yeah.
should I be worried that you know the lyrics that fast? That
yes.
Fast? How could you not know the lyrics?
That is so awesome. Yeah.
It's been a while since I've heard that song.
Go get a box. Put your junk in a box. Open the box.
Yeah.
It's not
that's true.
It's pretty
very
straightforward.
Instructional. Yeah.
It is. It is. And it's just hysterical. See, Justin Timberlake doing that is just great. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
And now Jessica Biel's singing the put your dick back in that box.
Oh, are they?
Oh, he got caught out and about somewhere holding hands with some other chick. So.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So that happened like a month ago. But nice. Oh, well. So keep it in your pants, Justin. Jessica Biel's hot. Mm-hmm.
And she's a good person who doesn't deserve that, Chad.
Oh, she—that's true. That's
and
true.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. Yeah, so. I did like the. Did you guys ever watch
she
the
did
Sinner?
Make Blade 3 though, so
yeah.
I understand it.
That's okay. did you guys ever see the Sinner on TBS? Came out a couple years. Well, the Sinner's a series now. They keep doing it every year, but the first series they did. Was about her character, Jessica Biel, and she did a fantastic job. I mean, you talk about just a hell of an actress. That was good. That was really, really good.
Good comeback.
Yeah, good comeback. Exactly. Okay. I'm trying to save myself here.
He's like, she's so talented. She's so talented.
She's so talented.
She's hot. She's hot. Talented. But she's so talented.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're not on Smallville, I don't know what that is. So.
Oh, God. I watch a few more shows than just Star Trek and Star Trek, but but it's on every night. Anyway, I got my daughter watching Stargate SG-1 with me now. She's kind of into it. She's enjoying it.
Oh, nice.
It. Yeah, yeah. The youngest one, the 12-year-old. So,
right on.
That show's okay for her. But anyway, so let's get into it, guys. We got a lot to talk about today. There's a lot of stuff going on. So let's get into the news.
Yeah, let's get into the news. So our first news story comes to us from TrekMovie.com. And the headline is...
Attention all hands, it's time for Star Trek news.
Star Trek Discovery Season 3 wraps filming. So this is basically just a combination of a bunch of tweets from different cast members and behind the scenes people.
That's journalism nowadays.
It is. Let's copy and paste all these tweets.
Just copy and paste six or seven tweets. And that's an article.
Yeah. And so, so they're done with season 3, at least, shooting. So now is all the post-production work, editing, adding in those lens flares. And
well, know. we've often thought that that this show would come right on the heels of Picard, but if they're just now wrapping up their 13th, 14th, 12th episode, whatever it is, you would think that would mean the first couple of episodes are totally done and ready to air, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to start airing them while they are still editing and putting together the final episodes.
They've done that before. Remember season one of the complaints was that they were only like a week and a half ahead of where they were actually airing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, they can do it. They've got plenty of time.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just means they're done now.
Well, maybe that adds some weight then to April being the because I don't see it happening this month. It's March 1st, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday was leap year. Hey,
see,
leap day, leap year, whatever. I don't know. It's just another day on the calendar to me. So,
But they're done. There's all these smiling, happy people that they're done. So you know now they can sprinkle in the special effects and plot holes.
More plot holes. It's like cowboy. More plot holes.
That almost makes sense. Throw something out.
Yeah.
So our next news story comes to us from People.com, and it is an exclusive from People. Star Trek Discovery, Kenneth Mitchell reveals ALS diagnosis. Quote, I can't hide it anymore. So you might have seen this going around. It was pretty popular this week online.
Yeah.
Star Trek Discovery actor Kenneth Mitchell, he's 45 years old. Recently admitted that he was diagnosed with ALS a little while ago, but is now at the point that he's in a wheelchair consistently, has been since October.
Who does he play?
I was going to say, is he the guy in the wheelchair then, or who does he play? Because I mean, I recognize the guy and I know he's been on there, but I can't recall his character's name. So
I can't find his character's name in the article about him.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Journalism nowadays, let me tell you.
Well, he didn't.
Well, nobody tweeted it, so.
Right. So they say he's played multiple roles in Discovery.
Okay.
Well, he played a Klingon one time.
In Tenevik.
Yeah, he played a Klingon.
Yeah,
I do recall that. I just couldn't think of his name.
Okay.
In the show, but anyway. Okay.
So he's probably played multiple characters under heavy prosthesis, because I know for years Star Trek has done that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, what's his name from Voyager? The guy who was the helmsman who was in a whole bunch of episodes, but he only spoke once.
Oh, we've talked about him before. No.
Nick Locarno? No.
Yeah, no.
Ayala. Lieutenant Ayala.
Yeah.
He also played the...
Where's the nerd alert button when we need it, damn it?
Yeah. Well, get ready. Get ready for the nerd alert.
I know.
He also played the robot in the Captain Proton episodes.
Warning. Nerd alert.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Damn.
That would be a great cosplay for Vegas. Is that robot?
Yes. Well, anything from Captain Proton would be a deep cut. That would be nice.
Yeah. So,
you know, a bomber jacket, you know, and a Captain Proton gun, and just slick your hair back and let it get. I mean, I've already got this stupid curl going. I got to get a haircut. Anytime it gets long, I get this dumb curl going in the front. But you know, so yeah, I can get that.
You can do a good 45? Captain Proton.
I could do a good Captain Proton. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not Harry Kim. I'll tell you that. Whatever he was.
Well, you're not Asian, so I mean, you know.
Yeah. But still, I'm not going to be short round there.
Nowadays, we have to be woke, and you can only play an Asian on television if you're an actual Asian.
I don't know. You have a very strong hairline, just like Harry Kim. So I don't know. I think you could pull it off.
Yeah,
I really
be able
do.
To. Yeah, you might be able to.
Yeah, I might. I know. I know the sad, sad reality.
I had a buddy that I worked with, and I used to shave my head completely with a Bic, except for a goatee. Okay. And he had wavy dark hair, and he had a strong beard. Okay. And he wore it very much like Riker's beard. But he was probably about 350 pounds. So we used to joke about putting on uniforms and going to a convention as White Sisko and Fat Riker.
Nice. face.
That is funny. That is funny.
All right. And our last news story comes from heroichollywood.com. And the headline is Simon Pegg unsure about Star Trek IV because they, quote, don't make Marvel money. So in a recent interview, Simon Pegg was talking about, you know, Star Trek IV. And he's just like, yeah, you know, we'll see if it happens. He says, quote, the fact is Star Trek movies don't make Marvel money. They make about $500 million at most. And to make a new one on the scale that they've set themselves is $200 million. You have to make three times the profit. You have to make three times that to make a profit. I don't feel like the last one, they didn't really take advantage of the 50th anniversary, which is true.
Oh yeah.
And the regime dropped the ball on the promo of the film.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I wish they would learn. I wish they would learn from the past. I really do.
Yeah. No,
because if you know the history, Star Trek, the motion picture cost a gazillion dollars to make and it was a 2.5 hour turd. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a decent story, but it's not something you go to the movies to see. It would have been a great two-part episode of a show, but it's not, you know, super exciting sci-fi movie for the theater. When they did Wrath of Khan, they slashed the budget immensely and just concentrated on, you know, let's get a good story. Let's get a good story. And I think they cut most of the special effects came from Star Trek, the motion picture. They reworked them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wish they would learn from the past and just realize it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to cost $200 million to make it.
Well, it's really simple. It's really, really simple. And if somebody at CBS Viacom doesn't get their head out of their ass and listen to what I'm about to say, then shame on them. This is really simple. If you look at the history of movies that have done really well, science fiction movies, let's just stick to the genre, right? That have done really well, but cost very little. I can list, you know, Star Trek II is one of them, but I could list about 15 others. And the first one that comes to mind is District 9. Neil Blomkamp's District 9 was one hell of a film. It told a really detailed, intricate story. It cost $9 million to make, and it made $120 million in the box office, for God's sakes. And it's still making money to this day.
Yeah, and the effects look good.
So you cannot tell me that you cannot make a good quality Trek movie with good special effects that has a great story for less than $90 million, 10 times what District 9 cost. You can do it. And you can make $500 million off of it if it's got a good story. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's the writing, stupid. Just like in politics, when you say it's the economy, stupid. In the movies, it's the writing, stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to have a good story behind it. And this is what really worries me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll give you more a current example of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they threw, what, $300 million at Justice League and completely, like, it tanked. Right.
Yeah.
But well, then they spent still made 60 million.
Still made $1 billion. Still made $1 billion in the box office, didn't it?
No.
900 and some odd?
No, it was like 700 and something.
Oh, that's where it kept out.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But Joker was 60 million.
Yeah.
And it made $1 billion.
Yeah.
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 A far better profit percentage than even Endgame.
Without Batman.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's a hell of a movie.
You can't tell me you can't do like a great special effects with 60 mil? Like,
no, you can.
Yeah.
And this is what CBS needs to do. They just need to say, okay, well, every couple of years, 4 or 5 years, whatever, we'll put out a new Trek movie. We'll have a schedule going. We'll put something out. Mm-hmm. We'll have a writer's room that's dealing with all the shows that we've got right now. So everything kind of seems similar. I mean, this is all under one roof now. So it should be easy to do. And they could just say, here's our budget, $90 million. Every time we make a movie, I don't care. It's $90 million. And frankly, I don't care who you have starring a damn thing, but it better have good writing. Because I would go watch a Trek movie with complete unknown people in it if I knew what the story was and it sounded like a hell of a story, right? I mean, there's so many stories you can make about it. It's just you got this giant volume to pull from. You don't even have to really try too hard to write a good story when you've got all this volume to pull
from. No, but you do have to try.
You do have to try. That's the thing. You do have to try. So there's that. No, I mean, it really worries me and concerns me, this Noah Hawley is still apparently tied to the Star Trek 4, whatever the hell they're going to call it.
Yeah, for now.
Because he doesn't want Chris Pine or anybody else in it. So then it's not really Star Trek 4 anymore, is it? So he hasn't written the script, but they're moving forward with it. So it's totally in limbo right now. All the talk.
He's probably
about
got a good pitch and outline nothing. For them.
So but. He has to have something, otherwise they wouldn't have hired him.
Right.
So I say let the guy do what he's going to do, write the script. Hopefully it's a good story, and let him cast whoever the hell he wants. We do not have to have Chris Pine. We do not have to have Zachary Quinto. We can move forward with this and make a movie that happens sometime in between 14 years ago and where we are in Picard right now. Mm-hmm. A tweener, somewhere in the middle of that. It could be backstory to Picard. It could be all kinds of, but just
it
little
could just
bits.
Be its own pictures, thing.
But it could also be its own thing. Exactly. Yeah. That's
you know, you could special. You could do something. You could do something 3 years before Picard, and then the sequel to it is happening at the same time as the final season of Picard.
Yeah.
And then the third one is finally on its own thing. There's nothing else out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to call back to, something that was said in the Facebook group. Chad, you got pretty animated just now talking about this stuff. Yeah. I'm just wondering how many people are screaming at their steering wheels right now.
I'm sure there are quite a few people. And if you I'll tell you what, now that you've mentioned that, let me go pull up the website, and I can tell you what the phone number is to call into if you are listening to us right now and just can't believe the shit coming out of my mouth and you want to call in and scream and complain. You can call 1-816-287-0448. Now, specifically, I want to call out Denise Mertz. You should call in and give us your 2 cents because this one's just for you, Denise. Fuck Boba Fett.
Oh.
What? I must have missed something.
Yeah.
But
a couple of episodes. A couple
I'm
of episodes.
I'm getting on a bus. I'm getting on a bus right now. Coming over there to punch you in your mouth.
Is Boba Fett your favorite Star Wars character?
No.
He's up there.
He's there. He's up there.
Lando's my favorite.
This is a couple of episodes back, so she's obviously behind, but that's okay. We brought that up, and I talked about how maybe it was when Dan wasn't with us. I don't know. It was only a few episodes back, but we talked about Star Wars there somewhere, and I talked about how Boba Fett was just an overrated character because he only shows up once in the original trilogy. And like maybe he showed up in an earlier form and twice, whatever. But it's not like it's not a major character. He gets killed. He goes.
You would have gotten so many emails if I didn't correct that.
Yeah, I know. So
Chad is wrong.
I am wrong. That's okay. Chad is wrong at gmail.com or call the phone number. Anyway,
what's that number again?
The number is 1-816-287-0448. So anyway, yeah. One of these days we're going to have to do a live show and just see how many people call in while
I can't even get a soundboard to work.
No, yeah, you want to do that?
No. Well, we could do a Facebook Live and have people commenting while we're doing it. So we could do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm planning to do that in Vegas. I think that would
be fun. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
That's the way we should do it. Yep. Yeah. We should record a show in Vegas, but we should do some live stuff in Vegas too.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway.
Ooh, maybe we can do with the winner of the Trekcast Snack Madness.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with you with that.
Yeah,
let's
not reveal the brackets yet.
I don't mean about the brackets. I mean the fact that you're calling it Snack Madness. How is a cheeseburger a snack?
Okay,
the sliders. The sliders.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So should I just get into that real quick and then we can move on?
I'm totally lost. I don't even know where we are. Are we feedback? Are we news?
We haven't done feedback. We're done with news.
News is done. We haven't done feedback yet. So let's just go into your Trek Madness snack madness. Yeah. Okay. Let's just do that.
So this has been inspired, of course, by the NCAA March Madness.
Yeah.
And since we don't play no sports ball in here.
wait, I do.
What? Chad, you're wrong. Anyways. We do love to eat, though. I mean, how many times have we done burrito cast or food cast?
Yeah.
Food is a welcome topic in our Facebook group.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah. So
to most people.
Yeah, exactly. True. So
Yeah, there was someone. Yeah. Why is this post here? Why are we talking about burritos?
Someone who's currently muted.
Yeah. Who shall not be named.
So I was inspired by the NCAA, and I created a bracket. There's 32 different food items, common snack / pub food. So you're not going to see your Chex Mix or Skittles on there, but you'll see more generic stuff like, you know, an egg roll or nachos, or and things are broken down like boneless wings or bone wings, because, you know, there's a difference.
Boneless.
Okay. Boneless. All right. So I tried to make the brackets, you know, pretty even across the board. And so starting next week, we will have polling in the Facebook group. So if you want to take part in this, go to our Facebook group, trekcast.com or trekcast on Facebook, and join the polling. That starts next week. But we did create the brackets, and people can download the brackets off of trekcast.com. They can fill them out. Send me your filled out bracket to trekcasttng@gmail.com. And at the end of it, you know, whoever the winner is, I have a prize for you. As long as you're within the U.S. Because shipping is going to be nuts internationally.
It's not bad.
No, I was going to say, it should be $10 or whatever in one of those international boxes you can buy, right? $10-$15? Can't you do that?
Depends.
If it's under a pound, you should be able to get it most places for under 20.
It's a little bit more than a pound.
Yeah.
But, well, okay. Yeah.
I'll help you out with that.
All right, let's do it.
International. Anywhere. Yeah. Anywhere. Yeah. Because so, believe it or not, guys, we have, I would say, probably about 35, 32. I had to look at the percentage again, but it's somewhere in the low 30s percentage of people that come to our website, trekcast.com, are from outside the United States.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a pretty high percentage.
Yeah.
So for the people that are going to look at this and say, what does this have to do with Star Trek? Answer number one is, it's fun. Relax.
Yeah.
Answer number two is I'm going to rack my brain when I look at that list, and I'm going to try and remember what each of those items were called on the menu for Star Trek The Experience.
Yeah.
Like I remember that boneless – I'll be voting for boneless wings.
Oh, yeah.
Boneless buffalo wings.
But how but far they, will they get?
They were known as Pippius Claw, which is a Klingon dish. Yep.
Nice.
Cool.
So, and I missed the Pippius Claw at Star Trek The Experience. It was actually really good. The sauce was great. But anyway, continue.
Is there anything like that at Quark's Bar or anything like that? Well, I guess Quark's Bar is not really there. But, I mean, is there anything like that at STLV? Do they do anything like that with the food there?
I know that.
I can imagine they do.
I know that in years past they've tried to recreate some of the drinks that were available at Quark's Bar, and they set up like a makeshift Quark's Bar. I don't know if they did it. I don't know if they did food or just drinks.
I'll be pissed if there's no Romulan ale. I'm just going to say that right now.
But I tell you what, I had the Borg Sphere there once, was like this big fishbowl of green liquor. There was like six kinds of liquor in there, and they put dry ice in it, so it was smoking the whole time. Nice. And nice. Yeah, I.
I'm amazed you remember it.
I had a hard time making it upstairs. Let's just put it that way.
Nice. We're going to have to do a drunk cast.
Yeah. So just fill out your bracket, send it to trekcasttng@gmail.com, and that way we've got you in. So you've got a week to fill out your brackets, and then the voting starts. Yep. So enjoy.
Bracket will be up on the website by the time you're listening to this. So that'll be cool. That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's dumb fun. So whatever.
Yeah, why not?
Hailing frequencies. Open.
I'm sure we'll get some hate mail, but I don't care.
I don't care either.
Relax.
I don't care. There's a lot of delicious snacks to judge.
There is. Let's judge that instead of judging each other.
Yeah, don't judge me. Judge these snacks.
That's right.
Dan's PSA for the day. All right, so let's get into the feedback section. So we've got, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got all those voicemails, right?
Yeah, we've got a couple of voicemails or people calling in. Appreciate that. We'll play those right now.
Hello? Hi? Hello? Hello? Hi. Hello? This is Saul Rosenberg, and you're listening to TrekCast. Thank you. Live long and prosper.
This is Gentry. Romulan Legolas didn't step through the portal. What the hell? There wasn't any purpose in that whatsoever. Okay, Dan, go ahead. Pick it apart. I know you want to. Thanks, bye.
Hey, this is Scott from Mattawan, Michigan. Just wanted to share a quick story. I met Jonathan Frakes a couple years ago at the Indiana Comic Con. And as I approached his table, he looked up at me and said, "That's a strong beard you got there." Yeah, that's right. Commander Riker complimented my beard. Just wanted to share that and say also, you're listening to TrekCast, the most unpredictable podcast in the universe.
Hey, thanks for the voicemails, by the way. And now we've got a couple of emails as well that came in. I did have a couple of people email a few weeks back that I forgot to kind of say last week, asking, "Hey, where'd you go? I hope you're just sick or whatever." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, I'm sick." So I appreciate those that emailed in and asked about that. And then let's see, got another email from Akil and an email from Hunter, which I'm pretty sure is Gentry. Akil emailed in too and said, "Hope you're feeling better." Zachary emailed in, said, "Hope you're feeling better, buddy." And then Hunter, Gentry, See, this is a thing that was going around in the news, too, that we didn't get to talk about last week either, but I think people are missing something. He emailed in the article about the, I guess, an earnings call or whatever that the head of CBS Viacom had, and he talked about there being a movie in development and the two new shows. We talked about that briefly.
Yeah.
But Hunter Bruno says, "I believe the two new shows in development are in addition to Lower Decks, Section 31, and the Nickelodeon show. Both of these articles seem to insinuate that, and I hope it's the case. Got to keep growing the Star Trek universe. Keep up the great work. Best regards, Hunter Bruno." So I don't see that.
I don't. It's not clear.
No. And every time I go back and read exactly what was said by the head, whoever the hell that was, the guy that said that at CBS, right, what I hear is Lower Decks in Section 31. And they're not talking about the Nickelodeon thing because I'm thinking Nickelodeon's doing that on their own.
They're it's all the same company now.
It is, but I mean, they're letting Nickelodeon do that off on its own, and they're not involving anybody else that's part of the Trek world handle it because it's just straight kids show.
Name for that? Prodigy, like Star Trek Prodigy.
I think it is rumored. I think that is what Prodigy is. Yeah. So, I think all he's talking about here is the Noah Hawley movie that they're trying to get developed, and Section 31 and Lower Decks. And to be honest, as much as I want Trek year round, I don't think right now is the time for them with four TV shows and a movie in development to try to add two more TV shows.
No.
Because now they're going to fuck it up.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're going to water it down. They're going to have, I mean, that's, if you got that much going, you're literally throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks. So let's not do that.
Well, they are.
Yeah, they are. They are. So move that. Sorry.
Okay.
I hit the table and then it just, like that. It just moved. Yeah.
You're animated today.
I'm in a good mood. It's one of those things where when I get into a good workout routine or I do something heavy exercise-wise, I feel so much better. If I drink a lot of water, that's like me getting drunk. I'm like, seriously, I go nuts with a lot of water. So yesterday, I took down a 20-foot-tall bush/tree thing. And I got to whack it down with my clippers. I got to hit it with an axe. And I got to use a 14-inch chainsaw.
Nice.
I mean, I was just killing it. Now, of course, I was tired and sore and could barely move last night. And I feel great today. But with that said, please somebody call. What was our number again? Please somebody call at 816, whatever the hell the number is, and come haul off all my limbs because I don't know what the hell to do with all of them. I can't burn them. There's so much there. I have nothing to haul them off in. I'd have to go rent a trailer or something. I mean, I don't know what to do with it. It's literally stacked up taller than my deck.
And what my kind deck of tree is it?
Second story. I don't know. It's some bush thing tree. It's like a tree bush. It's huge. It's massive.
Is it a pine or is it something else?
No, it's not a pine. I don't know what it is. It's something that when it leaves and flowers in the spring, it attracts bumblebees all the way up until the end of September. And I call it the bee bush. And every time I'm mowing, I literally have to walk through 20 or 30 bumblebees at once.
Geez.
It's the scariest thing in the world. I hate it. But they never bother me, but it's like, God,
you can't just do a bonfire?
No, you can't do that here in town. So,
man.
Plus, it's also, there's so much of it, honestly, if I was to light it on fire, that fire would take a week to go out.
Okay.
There's so much of it.
We don't care.
Just yeah. My deck comes off of the second story of the house, off the back of the kitchen.
Yeah.
This brush is stacked up taller than the deck.
Oh, wow. I mean,
it's just insane. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it up on Craigslist and see if I can't get someone to just come take it for $100 or $200 and do it.
There you go. Yeah.
So, There's no other way to take care of it. Anyway, so no, I feel great today because I'm just ready to go. So, of course, you know, that's me. Sorry. I get hyped. All right. So, other feedback. Get back to the feedback section. Did you have any other emails or any other feedback besides on the Facebook? We had a couple of coffee account donations. So, we want to thank Commander Felton for that because he gave us a couple of more here in the last few days.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
Your continued support is just amazing. We really appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
Obviously, those funds are going to go towards all the little things that we need, like, you know, some
like shipping for this prize.
Yeah, shipping for the prize. Yeah, that too. So that we appreciate that. He had a couple of comments, of course. Anytime someone makes a coffee account post, they can comment on anything they want, and we have to read those comments on the air. In the past, mm-hmm. I've had sing and all this other stuff. So he made two donations. And he said, have you guys ever seen David Ivey in the Heavy Honey Soul Selling YouTube video wearing his Star Trek communicator pin?
No.
I don't know what he's referring to.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking
about. Yeah.
So, I don't know. So the answer is no. And the answer is going to be no to the second one, too. But his next one was, somewhere down the road, it would be great to get Darren and David back in as special guests on the podcast to get their views on Discovery and Picard. And all I can say to that is it probably won't happen. Love to have them on at some point if they want to, but I don't think we're there. I think they're done. That's why we're here. But we did have, or Danny, you can say this or I can say this. You tell me.
I'll say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I text David cause we work with David behind the scenes a lot.
Sure.
And I text him to, you know, just kind of fill that out. Just get his opinion on Picard. Just, you know, fan to fan. And he said he hadn't watched it yet. So,
yep, there you go.
There you go.
He might be waiting for it all to drop.
Yeah,
sure.
Sure. Do it all at once.
Yep. Yeah. So, there's your answer, Commander Felton. He does not have opinion on a Picard yet because he has not watched it yet. So I'm sure.
So hopefully by August he'll have watched it.
Yeah.
You know, we're planning to meet up.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah. Be in his town. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll hopefully be good. Schedule works. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's get to the topic.
Yep. That's it for feedback. Moving into topic.
Sound effect.
Talking about Star Trek in this week's topic. Talking about the Star Trek in this week's topic.
You should leave that in there just for the hell.
I will.
That's funny.
I'm going to.
Sound effect and it starts playing.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course, we're talking about The Impossible Box, Episode 6, Star Trek Picard. I didn't write down who directed it because it doesn't really matter.
It wasn't Riker. Doesn't matter.
No, exactly. It's not Jonathan Frakes. I thought this was a fantastic episode. I really enjoyed this episode. There were several times, and I got to watch it Thursday afternoon at lunch because this last week I've been working from home a lot. So, and I will this next week as well. Getting ready for a job change. So yay! But there were several times I'm watching this episode. I'm like, what? Holy crap! You know.
So, I like the title, Impossible Box.
Yeah, that was a really good title.
It works on two levels, the Rubik's Cube that he's playing with and the Borg Sphere.
Yeah.
Well, and also Soji herself trying to open her up, you know, trying to figure out how to get her to open up without activating her, you know.
Oh, he got her to open up.
Oh, man. Oh, man. So
the riddle in her head.
Yeah, definitely. So what'd you guys think overall the episode before we start breaking it down? I loved it. I thought it was great.
I liked it. Things are happening.
It's finally moving along.
Yeah.
Things are moving along. It's not perfect. There's, you know, there's things that I wasn't crazy about, but, you know, it's moving along. It's moving the story along. It's also, you know, building the universe. We're finding out things about, you know, we're finding out things about Romulans. This is the first really Romulan-centric show. You know, they've appeared in every other show, but they were never
the secret name thing.
That's the one that I was going to. You know, a couple weeks ago, it was the fact that a traditional Romulan house has a front door that faces the road that nobody uses. Yep. Everybody goes in through the back, and now, you know, well, that's the name that I tell people, but my family calls me this, and you know, it's just interesting stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you're doing a good job of that.
That secret name thing is actually from one of the novels.
Okay,
nice. So that's where that first came from. So that's cool. Yep. Yeah.
There are so many little tie-ins to past Trek in this episode. Mm-hmm. It is so chock-full. And all of these episodes really are pretty full of little references here and there. But this one is so chock-full. And they drop little things every once in a while in this episode that if the first time you hear it, you're like, okay. Then you start to think about it. What the hell did they just reference there? Holy crap, that's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they beam off the Borg sphere and they say that, you know, the Sicarian what was it? The the spatial trajector. I immediately knew what they were talking about, and I was so excited. I was so excited because it was a tiny little callback, but it made so much sense. Voyager.
You were so excited that those poor people got assimilated, you bastard.
Well, no, we don't know. We don't know that the whole society got assimilated. We know that.
They assimilated the tech,
They assimilated some Sicarians, and therefore their knowledge, and therefore that technology.
Yeah.
That was great. That was such a quick little reference that has big impact. It was so cool.
But it also works because if you remember at the end of that episode, it was all for naught because that technology was not compatible with Federation technology. But the Borg had no problem getting it to work.
Yeah,
because you know we're the Borg. We know everything. We know everything that we've assimilated.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. I thought that was a nice, quick little, you know, nugget of a callback.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some people online complaining about that from the standpoint of, well, if the Borg had this technology, then they'd just be able to run rampant over everything. Why would they just have drones just show up on a planet and just assimilate it in seconds and be done? Like they'd be able to run over everybody and. I have two problems with your train of thought, whoever the hell that was that posted that somewhere. I don't even know if they posted that in our group. It might have been in some other group. But I had so much time on my hands this week. I read a lot. But you got a couple of problems with that. Number one, they would have assimilated that technology sometime after we see Voyager coming across them, right? Mm-hmm. So the time in which they assimilated it to the time in which Voyager, for the most part, either just totally destroyed the Borg or really disrupted the Borg moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, there's you know, and now obviously with where we're at in the series in timeline for Picard, the Borg are not the major threat they used to be.
Yeah.
They're either totally demolished down to nothing or and almost gone, or they're just in shambles scattered around. We don't really know what the state of the Borg is, but they're not in the same state they were in.
Or they're not a power in the Alpha and Beta Quadrant. They're still a power in the Delta Quadrant.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But they're not expanding at the rate that they were. And the other thing is just, you know, just because you have the technology to do something doesn't mean it's cost effective to use that technology on a regular basis. And I know it sounds silly, but the example is, you know, plane crashes and the black box is intact. The old joke is, why don't they make the whole plane out of black boxes? Because that's not how it works.
Yeah,
right.
That's not how it works. You know, this Sicarian transporter is basically a lifeboat for the queen of the ship.
Yep.
If she needs to escape, she can take this thing. And that says to me that, you know, the energy necessary to use this thing.
Massive.
For all we know, we're going to find out next week that as soon as they did that, you know, the sphere blacked out.
And it took a while for it to charge up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
for all they know, the sphere, like every force field on the sphere just, or the ship just collapsed for.
Oh, a bunch of people died.
A bunch of drones were sucked out into space. I don't know. That's probably not what happened. I don't think Hugh would do that to them. But, you know. Maybe the defensive systems all shut down for, you know, for 2 minutes or whatever while this thing charged up. We don't know.
Yeah. So that leads me into another point I had there, too. But before we move into that, my second point with why wouldn't the Borg just run over everybody with it already is you're forgetting who the Borg are. Okay. The Borg are not there, and their mission in life is not to assimilate the entire universe. That is not actually their mission. Their mission in life is perfection.
Yes.
Whatever ethereal thing that means, but their mission in life is perfection. So that is why you can beam onto their ship and walk around, and they could give a shit less that you're there unless you start screwing with things or you get in their way, right? That's also why when they come across you, they may or may not assimilate you based on the fact whether you have technology that they want, right?
Right.
So, zero packlets have been assimilated by the
that's
Borg.
Correct. Right. That's correct. Yeah. If you want to be immune from Borg assimilation, just be stupid. That's so
and
anyway.
Don't be a threat.
Yeah, don't be a threat and be stupid. And they won't they'll leave you alone. They don't care. They don't need your planet. They've got plenty of planets. They got plenty of resources. What they're looking for is perfection. That's who the Borg are. So
I thought it was interesting that they brought up the idea that her dreams were some sort of like mental exhaust port, basically, for her to process.
That was fantastic writing. You're right.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Yep.
Didn't Data have dreams too, though? Like,
mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, but I don't think he started off having dreams. I think that didn't that come later?
It's like a program he unlocked or something.
Yeah, he did something to himself to be able to do that.
It was. I think he accidentally unlocked it. He was exposed to some energy discharge or something, and he accidentally unlocked this program that he wasn't supposed to access until he reached a certain level of development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he finally had to get past level 99 in World of Warcraft, and then he could unlock that ability, and that's,
So.
But no, you're right, Daniel. That's a prime example of one of the things I love about this particular episode. The writing was phenomenal. Everything tied in beautifully. I mean, even when we see Picard getting onto the cube, for instance, and him having flashbacks, there's more to everybody's is always having flashbacks, he's having PTSD. No. They've already set this up in previous movies, episodes, and everything else, but they even set it up with his last conversation with Seven of Nine about you never truly regain 100% of your humanity. There's always some Borg left behind. And as soon as he gets on that ship and he starts seeing all this stuff again, it's just like in First Contact where he can hear them still.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. So there's some of that going on as well. That connection, that underlying almost subconscious thing that's there all the time, finally surfaces when he gets onto the cube again. And he does a fantastic job of that scene. And he's starting to fall, or he thinks he's going to fall. He's losing his balance. The drones are trying to help him. He thinks he's getting assimilated again. And he freaks out, you know?
Yeah.
Then Hugh walks in, and that was a great scene. They gave each other a hug, you know?
That. How he was legitimately happy.
Finally, somebody's happy to see him.
Yep, he was. He was very happy to see him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of all people, it would have to be Hugh that would be happy to see him. I mean, how can Hugh not be happy to see him? He saved him. So
I've got a little bit of insight on that because Jonathan DeLarco put on his Instagram that hug was not in the script.
Nope.
It was a improv from Patrick Stewart.
Yep.
That they talked it over before one of the takes, and it just felt right, and they did it. And
yep.
I think it really made that scene.
Yeah. It did. It really did. Yep. It was fantastic. So
I have a question about that, about the Hugh character. He mentions that he has a certain degree of freedom over there because he is a Federation citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's got me wondering, how is that the case? Because, you know, they never mentioned in those original episodes he was in, they never mentioned what race he originally was before he was assimilated. And I kind of feel like if he was a human, they would have never sent him back to the collective. It would have been, you know, nope, we're going to de-assimilate you. And even if it takes 25 years of therapy, you're coming home. We're not sending a human being back into the Borg collective. So that leads me to believe he's not a human. He's
something other. Else. Yeah.
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 So I don't know. I'm wondering where his Federation citizenship comes from.
It's probably because the Enterprise saved him. And so
Yeah, he became a citizen after the fact. I don't think he was
political refugee
inside of the Federation. Yeah, I don't think they're trying to imply that he was a member race of the Federation before he was assimilated. I think they're trying to imply that he became a Federation citizen afterwards. And whatever he's been doing since he went back to the Collective and did that, and then went back into, maybe with the demise of the Collective in the Alpha Quadrant, he went back to doing what he's doing now, or however he got into it. I'd love to see some more backstory of how he got to what he is now.
Yeah, I would too.
I would too. I mean, last time we saw him, he was on that planet.
He was there. Yeah.
Last time we saw him, he was on that planet. He was leading the separated Borg drones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I kind of want to know: are those the same drones that are on the artifact now? Is the artifact the ship that those drones came from? I mean, there's a lot of backstory there.
No, I don't think that. I think they've already kind of established that Borg cube was in Romulan space, and with the demise of the Collective, they were able to take over it somehow. I think they said that here and there. I know that's what they've said. I just don't know exactly when and what episode and how they said it, but I know they've already laid that out. So I doubt that. But it would be interesting to know if some of the drones that are there helping him are from his planet that he was left at. And in fact, there's even one drone, or XB as they call him anyway, in the background as Picard's walking through the ship with Hugh for the first time, who says Locutus in the background. He recognizes him, and for those of you who don't know, that guest star that played that XB that says that was Bojangles. So anyway,
right. I was gonna say Dan, there's probably gonna be a book that comes out in the near future.
I don't want to read a book.
Well, if you want those answers, it'll come at 1999 or whatever it is.
Please, God, not the Enterprise War book. I would like
if
that.
If you want those answers, go see Simon and Schuster, because that's where you're going to get them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or a comic book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you don't know who Bojangles is, Daniel? Or Dan? Daniel knows who Bojangles is.
Who's Bojangles? Oh, is that podcast? Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Lucifina.
Yeah, I was going to say Lucifina. Yeah,
that's right.
I figured I'd say Bojangles instead.
I haven't listened to him in a while. I should go back.
Oh,
my commute is not as long as it used to be, so I don't listen.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
I don't listen to as many podcasts as I used to. But
I'll be listening to a few more because now I don't have two states to cover. Now I have 9.
Yikes!
Wow.
Yeah, I'll be flying a little bit here and there, so which is cool.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I'll have plenty of time. There's some Dan Cummins. Anyway, back to the show. So
we're kind of all over the place.
We are. Yeah. That's okay. Sometimes I think I get a little too rigid when I go scene by scene, so I tried not to do that. I tried not to do that this time, but to answer a question,
people have watched it, so like it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. So, yeah, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, cargo shorts are still a thing in the 25th century. So,
as are
big giant shoulder tattoos.
Yeah. He's got a mermaid tattoo.
Oh,
yeah,
is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, that's the name of the ship.
That La Serena, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Agnes, and let's talk about that scene as well, okay?
Agnes is a hooa.
Well,
there,
so
I
is
said it.
So is he, because this is a part that I think most of the audience, who the woke millennial audience, will get ticked off about. I understand what they did, but I think some people watching it will get ticked off about. So Agnes comes to him. She's obviously distraught. She's not feeling herself because she just killed Maddox in the previous episode, which.
She just killed her boyfriend, so, she's in the market for a boyfriend.
Right, she's in the market for a boyfriend. So she goes and she kisses Rios, she's basically trying to put the moves on him, and he's down for it, but he's like, wait, hold on, are you you seem kind of down, like maybe that's not a good idea. And she tells him she feels hollow, and she just doesn't feel right. And so he does the right thing, as an alpha male should do. He kind of backs off a little bit, and he tries to talk to her and understand where she's at. And maybe it's not a good idea that we hook up, but then he does a full 180 and they hook up anyway.
Right. Well, it is lonely in space when you tell me just you and your holograms.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I understand what they did with that scene in terms of trying to play off of who Rios is And I know some people are going to get upset that he went and did that as if he just took advantage of her. Some people nowadays will probably call that rape. But no, he's trying to comfort her any way that she needs to be comforted. He's willing to be used, basically, to comfort her. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were doing. That's what they're doing in that scene.
You're right. Riker was so generous and comforting so many.
Yeah.
Chad's like, he took advantage of her, but he's really the good guy.
Yeah. Letting himself be used for what she needs in that moment. That's pretty obvious what they're doing there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, chadiswrong@gmail.com.
Exactly.
chadiswrong@gmail.com. Also, you can leave us a voicemail to let us know what a pig Chad is.
Yeah. I didn't write the scene, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just trying to understand it. The phone number, by the way, is 1-816-287-0448.
It was kind of an awkward scene.
It was.
Yeah.
I still question why they needed it.
That was what I was about to get to. Like,
yeah.
The way
as much as
designed,
I understand it, yeah, as much as I understand it, they didn't need to do the 180 back again where they continued to hook up. They could have left it there where they didn't.
Right.
And then there would be a tension between the two of them as the show progresses, right?
Right.
As in, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling hollow, I kind of need somebody, but maybe you're somebody, but then again, maybe I actually do like you, and vice versa, you know? Mm-hmm. They could have built on that a little bit, but instead they just made it, you know.
Yeah, but they seem to cut things off that had potential, like last episode with the Jaisal, right? That could have been a cool long-term character for 7 of 9 to fight against, you know, in upcoming seasons. But no, they just kill her.
Well, speaking of that, this is a good time to get into this. Speaking of this the overall, and I love the show, so don't get me wrong when I read what I'm about ready to read, but I'll just read this and you guys tell me what you think. Previously on Star Trek A New Hope, while running from deadly assailants, a droid sought out a retired hero and convinced him to go on one last mission. The hero hired a rogue captain with a spaceship, and because he was too old, he recruited a young swordsman. They flew to a giant fortress where a black-clad villain was torturing a princess for information about the location of his enemies. Luckily, our heroes escaped, but not before the villains got information that their information they were after. What will happen next is anyone's guess.
So does that make all the EMHs like Chewbacca?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That was such a good breakdown of what's happened so far that I
pretty accurate.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, if you pull certain aspects of the story, you can do that.
Sure, you can do that with anything. You can do
nobody
that with
killed
anything.
Nobody killed their boyfriend in A New Hope.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. It is funny.
It's hysterical, so I just had to read it. Anyway, getting back to what we're talking about with Agnes. So, all right, so with that scene, kind of awkward, whatever. They didn't really need to do it, but they did it. But before that, right at the beginning of the episode, we see her talking with Picard. And this answers a question we had from last week. You know, she's there killing Maddox. The EMH shows up totally unaware that Maddox is dying until he shows up. And he only shows up because she's experiencing some sort of, you know, psychosis or mental breakdown. And then she wipes him away. Well, how is it he doesn't immediately go and tell Rios or Picard or anybody, right? Clearly she's done something to him, because at the beginning of this episode, it takes place seconds or an hour or two, whatever, after his death, within a day for sure of his death. And she's just sitting there having a conversation with Picard. Obviously it's not like a casual conversation, but she's pretty okay about it. Well, she's not pretty okay about it. She's obviously shooken up about it. But everybody else is pretty okay about the fact that Maddox died, because he was just too far gone. She explains that he was too far gone. It couldn't save him. No one's asking the EMH. No one's saying anything to the EMH. That's kind of a plot hole from the standpoint of, wouldn't you turn the freaking EMH on and ask him what happened? Why are you getting it from Agnes? You know?
She's Dr. Agnes.
She's Dr. Agnes. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But anyway, clearly she wiped the EMH or did something to the EMH to get away.
So I'm gonna make a crazy Dan prediction.
Okay.
You know, some people called the Agnes turn. They saw that coming. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna see a double turn. I think she I think she's part of Section 31. I think she's been part of Section 31 the whole time.
Oh, God.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's why when, what's her name? Oh, is that the, mm-hmm. yeah. That's why when she just, you know, walked up to her in the park on her lunch break, she just took her earbuds out like it was nothing. Because, she, you know, it's totally expected for this person to walk up on her. So I think she is Section 31. I think she was placed there at the Astrom Institute by them. She did fall in love with Maddox.
Right.
And that's why it genuinely did hurt her when she had to kill him. But so she's getting down with Rios just because it's part of the job.
You know that's such a bad idea. That's probably what they're gonna do.
Yeah, maybe, maybe, maybe. God, I hope they don't bring up Section 31 yet again.
They will. They will.
I mean,
they love their Section 31.
Well, I mean, they got a Section 31 show under development, so I guess there's got to be some. Yeah. I still don't know how they're gonna get Michelle Yeoh back from the future.
It doesn't matter.
No, it
doesn't matter. Does it?
So, anyway, but. How they get her back from the future, but not the rest of the crew. It's kind of an obvious somehow they're all coming back. But anyway, no, and that's a good parallel too to what Narek goes through with Soji. You know, he's trying to push her. He's trying to get some information out of her. His sex sister is coming after him hard, and he's got to produce the goods now. So they really do. You know, I read people too comment that they didn't do a very good job of showing who Soji was as a person, but yet somehow they showed the breakdown with Narek and his issues better. And I disagree. I think they've done a pretty good job of showing who Soji is for a 37-month-old person, right? So
yeah,
I thought that
was cool. She was carbon dating everything in her room.
Yep. Well, and if you look down what they did in her room and you really look at all of that, there are so many things in there.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Like if you look at all of her artwork that's on the wall, as Hugh and Picard go and look through her room and it's trashed.
It's all twin stuff.
It's all twin stuff. Everything is symmetrical and it's all double, whatever. Yeah. Every image she drew two of something symmetrical. Mm-hmm. So it's all twin stuff. There's
well,
so
and the
many
fact that she does art. Data did art.
Exactly. So it's so cool how they did that. And everything's 37 months old and it freaks her out. But anyway, but Narek,
I think. Big toddler.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Narek, I think they've done a fantastic job with his character, because when he goes to that Romulan room with her to do the meditation thing, to get to the core of their feelings, I thought that was a really cool thing, you know?
Yeah.
And how he went about doing that and all the flashbacks. We got to talk about these dreams that she's having and what she's seeing, because I think there's a twist coming there too. But anyway.
Well, she mentions the orchids and you see them.
Yeah.
And then Dodge had mentioned orchids in the first episode.
Yeah, well, she was growing orchids in her apartment in the first episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's lots of tie-ins there, but what I'm getting at with the dream is different. But no. So when Narek leaves her in there and the impossible box opens up and sprays that stuff, that's kind of a callback to Nemesis when Shinzon does that to the Romulan Senate. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he walks out and the door is shut and she's screaming, you know, Narek, help me. What are you doing? He's crying. The poor dude cannot turn around and look at her, and he's crying. Yeah. That he had fallen in love with her. He has fallen in love with her, period. The same way that Agnes fell in love with Maddox. There's a lot of pairing of everything going on here.
Yeah.
Not just Soji and Dodge, not just her artwork, not just the orchids thing, but between Narek and Soji, and now between Agnes and Rios in this episode. I mean, everything had a pair to it, including Picard and Hugh. And they're similar histories with being assimilated and not. So, I mean, it was well done. It was so wrapped up like that. It was really good. So with the dreams, what I was thinking of there though, that I thought was fascinating. The first time they run through these dream sequences before you see his full on body and face, that's fuzzed out from the back. That does not look like Maddox. Even from the front with his face fuzzed out, the body's not the same as Maddox. The hair's
not
the same. Yeah. And the first time you see him from the back, it looks like he's got 20 years. It almost looks like a Romulan from the back. It really did to me. And I paused it several times trying to see it. And those ears look pointed the first few times you see him from the back. When you see him from the front, they don't look pointed. But I don't know. I don't think that's Maddox. That's my thing with the twist with those dreams. I don't think that was Maddox. So there's somebody else.
Well, here's the thing. It was an implanted memory.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a 20-year-old memory that was implanted 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not going to look like Maddox. It's going to look like what Maddox looked like 20 years ago.
Mm. True.
I'm hoping.
We caught Chad.
Yeah.
My goodness. All the
yeah.
Things. Okay.
Whenever you're ready, Chad.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm back. God. I'm sorry. I don't have a mute button, so I can't just mute it and blow my nose. And of course, the way the camera is set up now, it's got this great field of view. Watching. So I was like, how do I freaking move to get out of the camera? Like I don't know. Hurts. Yeah. So anyway, so no, I guess we'll see. I don't know if they'll break that down anymore or they'll leave it or what. I'm curious if those memories they've got were actually from a young girl that was somehow like Maddox's daughter or something, or you know, I don't know, somebody else's kid maybe. I don't know. Interesting. It was an interesting how they walked through that several times. It was really, really well done. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So I did love moving on to another scene, if you guys are ready for it. I did love how he sits down in his hologram chateau and starts pulling up old images from previous TNG episodes, previous TNG movies, and they do that overlay on his face.
Yes.
That was great.
That was so well done.
I just
my mouth dropped open during that scene. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. It was just so well done. And that was one of those scenes that was just dripping and oozing with nostalgia from all.
And I kept thinking about like how good Patrick Stewart is, because in real life, there's nothing there.
No,
it's just him kind of touching his face and acting like he's looking at something. I'm sure they had an idea what they were going to do with that, but
yeah, still, you would think.
Yeah. Still was great.
Yep. Let's see.
I'm enjoying the quick cuts when he's having his panic attack. You know, the quick cuts,
and you could tell
some of that footage is lifted directly from Star Trek First Contact.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sure it is.
Definitely. Yeah, they did a great job with it, too. It doesn't look like it's out of place at all.
Unlike
the very first episode where things looked like they were out of place. This one, they did not.
It also, it kind of adds to, as the viewer, it adds to the fact that he's experiencing a memory. Because you're also experiencing a 24-year-old memory. Because you remember seeing those scenes. And you remember the first time. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Star Trek First Contact. And those Borg scenes, you know, when they're on the Enterprise. And it's basically an hour and a half of them retreating. Because these guys are just unstoppable. It was a zombie movie in space.
Yep.
And I remember being on the edge of my seat and being, you know, anxious about it.
Yeah.
And, so seeing that. You know, seeing those scenes cut in as memories for him, it was very effective.
It was very effective
the way they did that.
Yeah. Very well done. Okay, so is there anything? I got some questions to cover before we go into like speculations for next week. But
I've got some stuff from the Will Wheaton show.
Okay, let's go into that.
Okay, so because
you do the heavy lifting there.
Oh God.
Well, I tried it. It froze. It froze in the last 3 minutes, and I couldn't get it
God
to play.
God does better for you.
Yeah. And you know, while we're talking about this, I don't know where you guys, you know, do you have a smart TV? Or are you watching on your laptop?
A smart TV.
I have a Roku, and I don't know if it has to do with the Roku or the service or the CBS All Access service, but a couple of things. During the 1 hour show, I see the same commercial like 8 times.
Yep.
That's your Roku.
Come visit San Diego. I'm not going to San Diego. I'm not. It doesn't matter how many times. Okay. Yeah. That's one thing. The other thing is if I try and back it up, even if I try and back it up 5 seconds just because I missed something, it takes me back to the last commercial break.
Oh, wow.
Ew.
And then I have to watch the same commercial 4 times in a row.
Yeah.
And then watch 7 minutes of the show that I've already seen.
Yeah.
To get back to where I was okay, and then miss it again and back up 5 seconds, go back to that commercial again, watch it four times again, to the point where I feel like it's 1985 and I just watch the show, and if I miss it, I'm just like, oh, I don't know, I'll ask the guys on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I watch everything off my PS4.
And yeah.
It seems to be fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
the Roku.
I'm on an Apple TV. I got it last summer. It's one of the newer, I don't know what it is, the 4K newest version of the Apple TV. And it's connected to a smart TV, but the smart TV is stupid because all the apps suddenly don't work and haven't for like 5 years now. So, you know, don't ever buy a smart TV. That's dumb. So.
Well, that's why they don't work. It's been 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll work for like the first year or two you have them, and then forget it. So because they stop running the service. It's a Samsung, and they just screw it. We're done with that. We're not doing that anymore. It's too costly.
Well, no, So I know a little bit about this. Samsung recently, and by recently in the last year, they changed the operating system for their smart TVs. So it's all the TVs from 2019 and on that basically run this new. Yeah. So they don't take updates from the old ones. They don't. Yeah. It's to sell more TVs.
Yeah. Basically, you have to have the newest and latest, greatest thing every time it comes out. Otherwise, you're not up to date ever.
Yep.
And you can't. And whatever you bought the last time isn't going to work as soon as that new and latest and greatest thing comes out. I'm getting kind of tired.
Well, this Roku is like 5 or 6 years old. So that's
what it is. Yeah. It's the Roku.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a newer one in my workshop. I should probably swap them and it'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine. Yeah.
Anyway, so the Will Wheaton show, yeah.
$120. I mean, you know.
Yeah. So the Will Wheaton show, right? They interviewed Jerry Ryan.
Yeah.
And
they for the wrong episode.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They stack him up as they can. And one of the things that just whatever. So she talked about how it was tough at first for her to find Seven's voice in the script. She's like, this 709 is way different than anything I've ever dealt with. It doesn't sound like her. Like,
no.
What the hell? And she says that it was Jonathan DeLarco who, like, they were running lines at her house one day. And he was like, well, what if 709 started acting human as a survival technique? Because they're hunting the Borg, so she's got to act more human. And to blend in. So that's why she's that way. And so that helped Jerry Ryan kind of like figure out the voice of the character. But here's the thing. If you're blending in and trying to survive, why are you still going by 709 and not Annika?
Well, she obviously was going by Annika at some point.
Because
Bejazel was calling her that.
Yeah.
But the voice thing, I mean, that's based in reality. If you move from one part of the country to another... and there's a different dialect being spoken there. It doesn't take very long for you to start changing your speech patterns. Yeah. Some things never change. Mm-hmm. You know, my father hasn't lived in Brooklyn since 1971 or whatever, but he's, you know, he still has a Brooklyn accent, people say.
Yeah.
But I know I spent a few months.
You got that smartpock?
You got that smartpock? Huh? Hey, he's got smartpock.
Ain't they gonna fit in there? Sure he is.
But I can remember spending a few months down south in my early 20s and catching myself changing my speech pattern just because, you know, I was hearing it like this, and I guess that's how we say it here. So I would imagine the more time she spends in the Alpha Quadrant, she would naturally start acting Borg like.
And the other thing is, they also interviewed Rod Roddenberry, and it was interesting because they talked to him a lot about the philosophy of Star Trek and how important it is, and how no matter what, in any sci-fi series, yeah, sure, you've got space battles and everything, but Star Trek had its core principles, and that's what made it Star Trek.
And that's why we're shredding those now. I mean, what?
Right. Yeah. So that was kind of the question, is like, it's kind of different now. How do you reconcile that? And Rod Roddenberry said, well, the main tenet of Star Trek is infinite diversity and infinite combination, and that includes thought and how you interpret things.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's great, but then why do we have money? Why do like, why are there poor people who live in trailers at Vasquez Rock? Like, it, whatever, you know.
Here's the thing with Rod Roddenberry, and I appreciate who he is and where mm-hmm. he came from, but the truth is, he doesn't own Star Trek. He doesn't own a stake in Star Trek. And when I say him, I mean as the descendant of, as the heir to the Roddenberry estate. Mm-hmm. You know, Gene Roddenberry didn't own anything.
Right.
He owned the, you know, he got royalties for the song because mm-hmm. he, you know, backdoored his way into being co-author of the theme. But, you know, he doesn't own Star Trek at all. Mm-hmm. So I think he's Rod is executive producer or associate producer, whatever he is.
Yeah, he's a producer.
I think that's kind of like a courtesy position to attach the Roddenberry name mm-hmm. to Star Trek. So I'm not trying to be a jerk when I say this, mm-hmm. but they're going to write him a check to use mm-hmm. his name to literally do probably nothing.
Right.
You're going to go with whatever they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so in case you want to disagree with Dan, the number again is 1-816-287-0448. No, I agree with you, Dan. I do.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting is, so they generally tend to interview people the week that they're on an episode, right?
Yeah.
So they announced that next week they're going to be interviewing Jonathan Frakes. So that's cool. When we saw them in the preview. Yeah. But they also said they're going to interview Brett Spiner. So maybe we get Data.
Another flashback. Dream. Yeah. Maybe a dream of Data.
I think they did that for the mini TNG reunion that'll be occurring with the three of them on the panel together. Yeah. But something I saw that was interesting is that with Riker appearing on Picard. Mm-hmm. It sets a new record for mm-hmm. actors in Star Trek series. He has appeared in every Star Trek series except the original series.
Yeah.
And no one else has done that. He hasn't had the most screen time. I think Michael Dorn still holds that.
He wasn't in Disco.
What's that?
He wasn't in Disco.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. He wasn't in Disco. So it was TOS and Disco were the only two.
Yeah, but I think it's five. I think they said the record was four, and this will be the fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he still doesn't hold the record for the total number of different characters because he's always playing himself, Riker. But
Or Thomas Riker.
Yeah, or Thomas Riker.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Dennis Riker. No, I thought that was interesting. That's a nice little fun stat. But I don't know if that means if Data shows up or not. You're right. It might be just a reunion thing. It might have been timing thing for everybody. But one interesting thing, though, is we know that, obviously, we knew this already, but we didn't know for sure. But mm-hmm. Riker and Troy and their kid are obviously not on Earth. We know the name of the planet that they're on because that's where they're heading. As soon as that's where they're walking to as they leave the Borg cube. In that little queen's room, which was a cool room. Let me just keep going back.
Yeah.
That was a cool setup. And the Romulans don't even know.
The queen's she shed?
Yeah, the queen's she shed, and no one knows about it. But I want to get back to that, too, because I have a thought there. But anyway, that's where they're going when they step through that portal is to Riker's, wherever the planet that Riker's on. It started with a V. Every planet in this episode has to be a V. I don't know why, but every planet has to start with a V.
Well, this is the first episode of Picard in a while that didn't start with a flashback.
That's right. It starts with him talking to Agnes. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah. So he'll just walk right up to their, he probably just portaled right to their front door.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Pancakes.
Yeah. Yell at your kid. What? I'm doing the dishes. But
if their kid isn't named Jean-Luc, I'm going to be upset.
Well, it's a girl. So maybe it'll just be a girl. Maybe her Jean-Luca. Name will be JL. Just JL. Yeah. It's a girl's name, JL.
Gene. Spelled the same.
Gene, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Gene, John, whatever. But anyway, okay, so anything else with the Will Wheaton show you were going to interject there?
That's it.
Okay. So a couple of questions that they leave open at the end of the episode moving forward, right? So in the Queen's Lair, when they're trying to leave, Hugh is going to walk outside of the area and reshut the wall, basically, that only a Borg would know where the panel is, clearly, mm-hmm. to unlock it and do all that stuff to make the wall come down. But Elnor decides, Elnor decides to stay behind and buy them some time. Because apparently, there's a couple things there I like and I don't like. So, but you're right. Apparently, what we said earlier about the power drain, obviously it's a power drain of some kind. So the Romulans are going to know it's there. Maybe it doesn't shut anything out, but they know, they're monitoring this cube. They know that there's a huge power spike there. Mm-hmm. And they're going to know that Queen's Chamber is there now when they didn't know it was there before. So that sets up a problem for Hugh no matter what. Mm-hmm. Because he's still there. If he even survives them rushing them. So we don't know if Hugh's going to survive. We don't know if Elnor's going to survive. I'm not really – I understand what Elnor was doing to stay. I saw some people talking about that online too, about how it doesn't make sense. But I understand why Elnor's staying. That's mm-hmm. He's got to make sure they have time to get away. So, you know, that's why he decides to stay. I don't know if that means Elnor's dead and off the show now or what.
He'll get back on the ship and then they'll catch
him. Short-lived. Short-lived somehow. But But that's a nice open question. What's going to happen to Elnor and what's going to happen to Hugh? I don't want to see him kill Hugh like that. Come on.
It's just one quick, hey, transport us out of here. We got to go. But, that's all it is. Yeah.
All right.
So are we doing predictions for the next episode?
Yeah, because those are the main things that they kind of leave open. And obviously,
I predict pancakes and Riker.
Well, yeah. Pancakes and Riker. Pancakes, Riker, maple syrup out on the dock fishing. Yep. Yeah.
Riker looking like he stepped off the brawny towels.
And then, of course, we'll get a bigger picture of what their house looks like and Troy and obviously their kid. Mm-hmm. So with all of that, though, I mean, he's got Soji now. So what are your predictions for how they're going to wrap this thing up? Obviously, they portaled straight to Riker because that was their only way off the ship. They couldn't just transport back off the ship the way that Elnor transported on the ship. Somehow he transported on. Mm-hmm. And just shows up, but they can't transport off the ship. So, because the alarm went up, right? Because they're trying to find Soji because she busted through the floor. So it makes sense they can't just transport right back off. But now that he's got her, he's off planet. Rios and everybody else is going to have to tagtail it out of there before the Romulans take him out to catch up with them because they know where they're going. They tell them where they're going over the intercom or the communicator. So, now what?
I feel like they could – Hugh can easily say like, oh, I know how to transport through shields because I'm a Borg and we had technology and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a line. It's just I can do it, blah, blah, blah. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all that takes.
Do you think it's going to be two separate stories going on again where we see cutaway scenes between what's happening with Picard and Soji and then we see what's happening with Hugh and Elnor? Or are they going to just leave that in the background somewhere? Or a third one where we see what's happening with Rios and Agnes and Raffi?
I think we're forgetting about somebody.
Yeah.
We know Seven's coming back.
Yeah.
We do?
So, yeah, she's coming back.
Yeah, she mentions that in the Will Wheaton show.
And we've seen, you know, they've set it up how Elnor is very fascinated with her. Mm-hmm. So I think Seven's going to end up getting him off the Borg ship. And for an episode or two, the story's going to be split in three. It's going to be Picard and Soji with the Rikers, the ship trying to get to the Rikers, and Elnor and Seven trying to hook back up with the crew.
Yeah, I think we've reached the Empire Strikes Back portion of the series. Everybody's got their mission and their own thing, you know.
It's all broken apart.
Yeah, I think Dan's right.
The only portion of the trailer we've seen, unless there was a different one on the Will Wheaton show, the only portion of the trailer we've seen for next week is him showing up at Riker's house. That's it. We haven't seen anything else about anybody else. Or did they show anything different in the Will Wheaton show?
Yeah, they showed something different.
They were
different.
Supposed to, but it froze. I couldn't see it.
No. Okay, so what did they show? Yeah.
It's just them in the middle of a dogfight. The spaceship.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, La Serena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've come to kind of like that ship. I didn't think it would be an iconic ship, and maybe it won't be, but boy, it's got some style, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All the red paint on the outside and the graphics and everything. And
yeah, it's cool.
It's just a giant open space on the inside.
I was just going to say, it's bigger on the inside.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it is.
No, but anyway. All right. Well, I honestly don't know what to predict moving forward and where they're going to go with this. Obviously, they've got to figure out somehow there's going to be a I don't buy this whole there's a nest of them thing. I think that's what the Romulans have up their head, but I don't know that if there's like a planet or a station or a ship just full of Sojis and Dodges or things like or machines like them.
Oh, I guarantee you one thing. This is going to end with a cliffhanger.
Well, yeah, we got season two.
Season one, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though there may not be a planet of Dodges and Sochis, mm-hmm. I mean, those synths that went rogue and attacked Mars, where did they go?
Right.
Good point.
They all went somewhere. Good so. Point.
Oh, yeah. This is when you need to play the clip. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Good Hell morning, yeah. plastic people.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I mean, it's exciting, that's for sure. Whenever you're watching a show and you're just not quite sure what they're going to do next with it, that's what I like.
Yeah.
If it's predictable, it's just like, whatever. Yeah. But not very imaginative. But boy, they are in this one, so.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I know people probably got tired of me poo-pooing on it for a couple weeks in a row. But, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fun. What you reading, Daniel? I can tell you're reading some.
I'm just... I'm trying to find like any other people's predictions.
Yeah.
For the show, but no, nothing that we haven't covered.
Right, and I think that's a good sign. I honestly think that's a good sign that they've done a great job up to this point. They had the setup episodes, which we see why now it was so important that they spent so many episodes with setup.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they weren't thinking about how do we set up this first season. They weren't even thinking about how do we set up this episode. They were thinking about how do we set up these next three seasons or two seasons or whatever they wind up doing. They're setting up for the long haul. There's going to be more to this as it goes forward. I don't see if you're right. If there is a cliffhanger at the end of season two, this is end of season one going into season two, this arc will continue. This isn't a one season arc. There'll be some of this going on for two seasons. Seems like. Because there's just so much going on. So you got the Fenris Rangers. You know, everything's happening in between Federation and Romulan space in the neutral zone that's not the neutral zone anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many unanswered questions that they could be exploring. You know, you could have those one-off episodes every once in a while that deals with some of those unanswered questions that doesn't necessarily forward the arc, right? Just like we had in Discovery. So
Right.
We may get Short Treks after this season, but before the next.
Oh, I'm sure.
Boy,
we will.
I would love that. God, I would love that.
You know,
not after the last set.
Well, no. I mean, I would love it if they're Short Treks based on Picard's. You know.
Well, we did have one. Children of Mars is based off of Picard.
That was an okay one, though.
That was okay. Well, they beat us down with everything else that they sent us. Sure, that one was great.
Yeah, exactly. Well, true. You got a good point there.
I'm excited about the idea of some self Short Treks in the Picard era.
Yep.
You know, there was an article last week. Yeah, Geordi LaForge.
Yep.
There was an article last week about a tie-in book that reveals who is the captain of the Enterprise now.
Oh, yes.
And come to find out, spoiler alert, come to find out that it's Worf. How they make that work, I don't know. But, you know, whatever. Yeah. We could, you know, we could see him show up in a Short Trek.
Yeah.
We could see and even if we don't see him, we could see the Enterprise under the command of Worf in a Short Trek without seeing Worf. They could do a lower decks style 12-minute episode that takes place on the Enterprise without actually showing the command crew of the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that'd be good.
Just an idea.
Yeah, that'd be good. Or they could have a Short Trek with Beverly because she's nowhere to be found.
Yep.
Someone that John Luke was so close to for so many years.
Yeah.
Is not to be found anywhere, any reference whatsoever.
Hasn't been mentioned either.
I'm willing to bet there's a reference to her in the next. I will say that as a prediction. I do think there'll be at least a reference to her in the next episode. There has to be. How could you go have a reunion with Picard and Deanna, or with Riker and Troy, and not mention Worf, Geordi, Data, Beverly?
You know what I would love?
Barkley.
No.
You know what I would love?
What's that?
We're at the Riker's house, and you just hear a voice from upstairs. You don't have to see her, but Lwaxana lives upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just see, you know, you don't have to see her. You just have to see the look on Will's face. He's like,
oh, shit.
Jean-Luc, take me with you. Please take me.
Yeah, yeah.
Riker's like, welcome to hell, John.
I forgot. This is why my hair looks like this. I forgot to tell you. I wasn't going to tell you. And Picard goes, where's that portal?
Yeah.
I'm going back to the cube.
Anything is better than that. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That would be hysterical. That would be great. You talk about perfect. Or even if it's just a punky, like if at some point during their conversation, Riker just plays a sound clip somewhere, like through his replicator or his screen, and it's her voice, and he looks at Picard, waits for him, and Picard goes, she's not here, is she? And he goes, no, I'm just teasing.
Or no, just mentions, you know, like she's at the market or something.
Yeah,
she'll be,
yeah.
And she'll be back. She'll be back at 3. And he's like,
at 2:35.
We're gonna be out here at 2:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, there gotta be something like that. That would be hysterical. Or if they just have like his butler show up, her butler, you know, the big.
Oh
tall.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Oh he, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just shows up and he's like, that's my cue. It's time for me to leave. No mention of anything else. Just there's the butler. It's time to go.
That would be great.
That would be awesome. But you got to mention Beverly at some point in this series.
You got to.
You have to. You have to mention. You have to mention Geordi again, other than just the one name drop. So, and of course,
I'd laugh so hard if they're like, "Where's Beverly? Oh, she's taking care of number one." That's what happened.
She has the dog.
Right off of, yeah.
Yeah. She's a Starfleet medical. I dropped the dog off with her.
Yeah.
That's right. That'd be a perfect reference. That's easy to do.
It would be, yeah. So. Yeah. It would fit, too. She would take care of his dog. I'm sure she would. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's basically it, huh?
Good. I think we're good. Yeah, we covered it. So.
Yeah, it's a long episode.
I love those Daniel Reyes smooth endings. I love them.
We're done now.
We're done now, right?
I think this is the end of our podcast.
Yeah, I've got to feed my corgi.
That's right.
So. All right, guys.
Yep, great show. Appreciate it. As always, love it. So, yep, live long and prosper. We'll see what next Thursday brings, as everybody else will. Thursday, CBS All Access at like 6 in the morning. I'll be watching it first thing in the morning.
Nice. There is no fill out your brackets, people.
Yes, go to the website trekcast.com. The brackets are there. You can download those as a PDF. Fill those suckers out. Take a picture of it. Something. Get it sent in.
Yeah,
you might want to post that up in the Facebook group, Daniel, about what the actual rules are there and how people need to do that. People don't know how to fill out brackets. I don't know. So I'll figure it out. But I've never done March Madness brackets before. There's one sport that I do not watch, do not care about, do not follow, and it will never will, and that is hockey and basketball. So all you Canadians, I just did. Sorry. The number again is 816-287-0448. But
so basically, I'll just go through it real quick.
Yeah.
Basically, all you do is you see all the matchups, you decide which one you think is going to be the winner, and you progress from there. So you've got all the first round matchups. What do you think was going to go into the second, third, finals, that all that.
Right. How do we determine which bracket wins, though?
Because then people will vote.
So
there's two parts. There's the prediction and then the voting.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so prediction first for the first week, then we go through the voting. Gotcha. Okay,
then
now
we'll
I see what you're doing. Gotcha. Yeah. See, it's this bracket thing.
It's all good. So, yeah, fill out your brackets. Get them to me. There's a prize. It's good times.
Do we get to play?
I mean, you guys get to play, but I don't think any one of us should get a prize.
No.
We get to play, though. We get to play and vote.
Yeah, I want to play. Just for bragging rights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Hippie's claw.
I want my fish and chips to win.
I don't know, man. It's in a tough field.
It will be tough.
Yeah.
It will be tough. So, okay.
We'll be the winning snack. We will find out.
Next time on Foodcast.
Exactly.
Hasparat for the win.
And in case you didn't know, when you do call into that voicemail, I do my best David Ivey impression, just to give it plug to me. So.
Nice.
He basically talks loud and fast and excited.
With a little bit of a, you know. Chain smoker sounds in the background. Just a little. Not a lot. Just a little.
Just a wee bit.
Oh boy. All right, I'm out, fellas.
All right. See you, man.
See ya.
Well, there you have it, another episode in the can. Check us out at TrekCast.com. Also, if you would, please subscribe to us via iTunes. Leave those reviews, subscribe to us, we get some numbers, get up the list, get more listeners, do more shows, have more fun. But for now, we're all done. So live long and prosper, and we'll see you next week.